Moving obstacles hindering Yemeni's ability to move within or between governorates inside Yemen. A bipartisan group of U.S. lawmakers earlier this month urged President Joe Biden to exert diplomatic pressure to end the Saudi-led coalition's ongoing closure of the airport. The continued restriction of commercial and humanitarian flights into the airport has exacerbated the ongoing crisis in Yemen and had a devastating impact on millions of innocent Yemenis, the lawmakers wrote, pointing out that restrictions on ports of entry are a form of collective punishment in violation of international and U.S. law. And that's, however, the Biden administration has come under fire recently for approving a $650 million arms sales to Saudi Arabia, which the United States Senate recently declined to block, sparking fierce criticism of the upper chamber's members and over the world across the political spectrum. Senator Bernie Sanders, who along with two Republicans led a resolution to block the transfer, said at the time that as the Saudi government continues to wage its devastating war in Yemen and repress its own people, we should not be rewarding them with more arms sales.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Hello and welcome to another session of Q&A on Islamic beliefs. This is IRIB English Radio and I'm your host. We're going to discuss the animal rights. This is the following session of the two previous sessions. In this session, we're going to discuss about the right of living of the animals. Hello, Dr. Karimi.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. Okay, can you tell us about the riwayats that are concerning the right of living for the animals?
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As I mentioned in the previous session, some narrations prevent people from killing any kind of animal, for no reason, of course. And in some narrations, some names of some animals are mentioned, or some birds, and I would like to share a few of them. For example, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, "Man qatala 'usfuran bighayri haqq," whoever kills a sparrow for no reason, God will question him on the Day of Judgment. Again, we are talking about killing the animals just for fun.
And with no reason.
It's absolutely forbidden. in a very somehow powerful narration, which has a very maybe a threatening tone, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying that on the night of Mi'raj or Ascension, I passed by the hellfire. I saw a woman. She was tortured, punished, and I asked for the reason. And I was told that إنها ربطت هرة. She imprisoned a cat and didn't give it any kind of food or water, and did not leave it just to go looking for food and water. And finally, the cat died out of this kind of torture. This is the reason that she is punished right now by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, another narration referring to the fact that all the animals, according to the religion of Islam, have the right of life. Another interesting narration, the Holy Prophet says that if you kill an sparrow, the same animal on the Day of Judgment will come and addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, Ya Rab, O Lord, this person killed me habathan, without any reason.
Yeah.
That means that if it was justified, then I would not complain. And yantafu bi, he did not, he did not take benefit from killing me, and did not leave me to, look for food. So this is, again, another narration referring to the fact that all the animals have this right for sure. So this is, one point regarding the rights of the animal. The other point is that we know that for ablution we need some water. Now, and if we have no water, we need to perform tayammum. Now, the question is that imagine we have only a glass of water. There is an animal which is thirsty and it is in need of that water, and we need to also perform wudu or ablution for prayer. Then according to the explicit verdict of Shia scholars, in that case you need to perform tayammum and give that water
to that animal.
Exactly. And this is one of the cases in which tayammum is permitted, or rather a kind of obligation. For example, Shahid Thani, the famous great Shia scholar, says that one of the cases in which you're allowed to perform tayammum is that there is a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is thirsty, whether it is a human being or an animal. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
Now, having talked about some of these rights for animal, in the previous session I referred to some of the points when it comes to the slaughtering the animals. Although Islam permits and allow slaughtering for a couple of the animals, but Islam has many detailed instructions in this regard. For example, I refer to the fact that it is highly discouraged for people to slaughter animals at night.
So it's a process that has rules and does not happen haphazardly.
Exactly. There are etiquette for that. Let me just share one narration in this regard. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says that you have no right, of course it's makruh, to kill the slaughter the animals till early morning, because night is for resting, even for animals. Also, I mentioned that it is very discouraged for you to slaughter an animal in front of other animals. Imam Hadi alayhi salam says that لا تذبح الشاة عند الشاة. You shouldn't slaughter a sheep in front of another sheep. ولا الجذور عند الجذور, nor a camel in front of another camel. And interestingly, some Shia scholars, because of these narrations, they believe that it is forbidden. It's not only makruh, it's not only discouraged. It is forbidden to do that. For example, Sheikh Tusi is said to believe in this verdict, and this is his fatwa. The next point regarding slaughtering the animals is that according to Islamic and Shia jurisprudence, again, it is not recommended for you to peel, that means to remove the skin of the animal right after slaughtering that.
Yes.
Because it is believed that it is a kind of torture for the animal. Again, we have so many scholars, they have mentioned that according to some of them it is highly discouraged, and according to some it is even forbidden. For example, Father Hendy, a great Shia scholar, says that it seems to me that peeling the animal, removing the skin right after the slaughtering, it is absolutely forbidden. لَأَنَّهُ إِلَامٌ لِلْحَيْوَانِ بِلَا فَائِدَةٍ, because you are torturing the animal and there is no benefit in that. وَقَدْ نُهِيَ عَنْ تَهْدِيبِ عَنْ تَعْدِيبِ الْحَيْوَانِ. We are, I mean, the Imams of the Ahl Bayt have prevented us from torturing the animals. So,
they are not caring about the smallest details.
Exactly.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Interestingly, we have a narration from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. Some scholars, they have resorted to this narration and they have come to this conclusion that if you begin peeling and removing the skin of the animal just after slaughtering that, it means that that meat cannot be eaten anymore. It's forbidden for you to eat the animal. It's been mentioned, for example, the narration has been mentioned by Sheikh Hur'amili in Wasail al-Shia, volume 16, page 314. The next point, we at the time of the slaughtering the animal, we should find the easiest way for that animal. One of them is that, I think I mentioned in the first session, that the knife should be very sharp so that it just finish the job in a very
few seconds.
Yeah, exactly. There are narrations in this regard. For example, إِذَا أَرَادَ أَن تَذْبَحَ الذَّبِيعَ فَلَا تُعَذِّبِ الْبَحِيمَ أَحْدِ الشَّفْرَةِ. When you're about to slaughter an animal, do not torture him or torture it. Sharpen the knife.
Use a sharp knife, yeah, to end the process quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. And the Holy Prophet says that he also commanded the people to sharpen the knife, and he says that إِذَا ذَبْحَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُجَهِزْ. If you are going to slaughter an animal, provide all the means that you need, then go to that process of slaughtering.
Yes.
And one of them is to have a very
sharp knife.
Another interesting point is that we know that when you, some people's job is just animals' husbandry and they raise the animals.
Yes.
According to the religion of Islam, when this is your job, you have raised a kind of animal, then there is a kind of, emotional feeling between you and that animal.
Yeah.
So Islam discourages the same people
to slaughter that animal.
If you are going to do that, let another person to do that. I mean, the animal does not expect you, as
yes,
the one who has raised it for a couple of years or even a couple of months, to slaughter it. So to this extent, Islam has paid attention to the feelings of the
animals.
So for example, just let me just share one narration in this regard. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam is quoted, one of the companions of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam told him that, I raised a sheep, then when I was about to slaughter it, it looked at me, and I also felt
pain.
Yeah, so I didn't kill it. And then Imam approves his action and says that when you are raising an animal, then you have no right, meaning it's highly discouraged
to
slaughter the same animal. And according to many Shia scholars, it is very makruh, discouraged for the people who raise the animals to themselves slaughter the animals. Some narrations tell that if you need meat, so go just to bazaar and
buy it,
yeah, and do not kill or slaughter the animals that you have raised. There are also many notions about hunting the animals.
Yes.
For example, again, we are told that it's highly discouraged to hunt the animals at night. This is very interesting because many people just do that because maybe it is easier for
a couple. Yes, and they do it for fun.
For fun,
sometimes.
Yeah. But even if it is not for fun, if it is for a good reason, it is discouraged to be done at night again.
Yes.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made
night is not the time of rest.
Of rest, even for the animals. We have some notions about the tools for hunting, like killing, slaughtering the animals. According to some scholars, it is absolutely forbidden to just hunt the, baby animals.
Yes.
And, especially in their nests or, the mountains, in the hills, it doesn't make any difference. As long as they are not able to fly, according to some scholars, it is absolutely forbidden to hunt them. And
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Now I'm justified that sacrificing those animals is not an immoral job, and it has got rules, and it is logical because we need them, because we thrive on them. How is it to be considered a prayer? How is it what we do? How is it going to be considered a blessing for us? How is it going to satisfy God?
As I mentioned, when an action like slaughtering an animal, it has its wisdom. So it means that to begin with, right now we are justified that we are allowed to slaughter the animals. Why is it an act of worship? I mentioned before, in the first session, because of the fact that Allah says, eat and feed the people. So even in slaughtering the animals, God pays attention to two points. It is a form of thanksgiving to God. This is one point. And the second point is that you are also paying attention to the needs of the people. And in that verse, very explicitly, Allah says that وَأَطْعِمُ الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُعْتَرَ. It is an act of worship because not only, you may eat from that yourself, but
you share it
with others, and you pay attention to the rights of the poor classes of the society. So, almsgiving is an act of worship in any form. Slaughtering an animal and distributing the meat among the very people,
the poor
classes of the people, it is also a kind of almsgiving. So from that perspective, it can be an act of worship as well.
Yes, thank you. So you were listening to Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Thank you for following us.
إن في الجنة نهر اللبن إن في الجنة نهر اللبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهر اللبن إن في الجنة نهرا باللبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Food for thought.
And Hello everyone, and since people in the West are celebrating the new year of the Gregorian calendar, we hereby present a thought-provoking statement from Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, as recorded in the Gospel of St. Barnabas, about the coming of the last prophet of God. O Jesus, say to the unjust Israelites, you have cleaned your faces but sullied your hearts. Are you deceived against me, or are you challenging me? You are odorizing yourselves for people of this world, while your interiors are some as stinky carrions, as if you are dead people.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
The mobile public library is back in the Afghan capital, Kabul, to bring joy to children with exciting books and games. The library reaches hundreds of children on a daily basis, seeking to expand its coverage in the coming days. Rahmatullah Baghban has more.
As the sun rises in Kabul, the Charmagh's mobile library starts a fresh mission to delight children. The library goes from zone to zone in the capital, Kabul, to spread the joy and love of reading among the Afghan children. It operates in 5 buses and has a children-friendly space. The organizers say they are happy being back for Afghan children.
That's why we want to enhance reading among children and boost their creative thinking. We have 5 mobile libraries operating across Kabul. Our services were shut for 3 months due to government change, but now they're happy that once again they can reach Kabul children. The library was sponsored by Afghan traders, but now it's out of funds and needs economic support.
I love my job here as a librarian. It's free for all. Children from different backgrounds come here to read books and play games. What I love most is watching children smiling and having fun with each other. I'm proud I can serve them with the skill I have.
Children are highly excited as they find the library right in front of their houses. Hundreds of children make daily use of initiative as most schools in Kabul lack library.
The mobile library used to come to our alley every week, but over the past 3 months, it didn't come and we missed it so much. We are very happy that it is bringing us joy again. Nowadays that our schools are closed, we can make use of its books.
We thank Charmagh for its services. We have learned to read stories, play games and draw pictures. We have kind teachers and have a good time with our friends.
This creative reading campaign starts as the country faced many challenges, affecting children's schooling and taking reading opportunities from them.
As schools remain closed for most Afghan children, such services can be a good haven
for students and book lovers. The initiative can also encourage children and bring the reading to life. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. Five horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable, so when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Abora Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech capital to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was -6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, a Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since. Now the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. A school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound.
The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes from members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by Spanish environmental group and is inspired by similar orchestra in Paraguay.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus's distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, five elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. The event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic, plus they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg. An embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66 million year old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together in a fair in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different in the fair as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa, and not the traditional three wise men, give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme, and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals, and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most, but a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and a second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. We looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiter is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and
So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about connecting with Lady Fatima, peace be upon her.
Ya Fatima al-Zahra, ya bint Muhammad, ya qurrata سيدتنا ومولاتنا همنا توجينا.
But first, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 27th of Jamadil Awwal 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of the month of Day 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of January 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. The title of this part is Fatima Zahra in Surah Al-Insan. Chapter Insan, chapter 76, verses 5-9.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innal abrara yashrabuna min ka'sin kana mizajuha kafura.
Indeed, the righteous will drink from a cup of wine whose mixture is of kafur.
عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا.
A spring of which the righteous servants of Allah will drink. They will make it gush forth in force and abundance.
يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا.
They are those who fulfill their vows and fear a day whose evil will be widespread.
وَيُطَعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا.
And they give food in spite of love for it to the needy, the orphan, and the captive.
إِنَّمَا نُطَعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا.
Saying, we feed you only for the countenance of Allah. We wish not from you reward or gratitude.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
These verses were revealed after Hazrat Ali, Lady Fatima, the Imams Hassan and Hussein, peace be upon them all, gave charity to needy people. Once Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein were ill. Therefore, Imam Ali, together with Fatima and their servant Fedha, vowed to Allah that they would fast for 3 days if he would relieve Hassan and Hussein. When Allah had relieved them, they all fasted. As sunset approached, a needy man knocked on the door and said, "Assalamu alaikum, family of Muhammad. I am a needy man. Feed me." The Holy Family preferred the needy man over themselves and spent the night with nothing in their stomachs save water. They fasted the second day, and again at sunset an orphan asked them for help and they again preferred him over themselves. The third evening a captive or prisoner of war asked them for help and they repeated their preference for the needy above themselves. The following morning, Imam Ali took Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein to the Messenger of Allah, who said, "It displeases us to see you in this condition." Then he went with them, for he wanted to see Fatima. When they arrived, Fatima was in the prayer place, and her condition was such that it further displeased the Prophet. At this time, Angel Gabriel descended and said, take this chapter, Muhammad, Allah surely congratulates you for having this family.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Concerning some of the practices of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha, it must be indicated that soon after the Battle of Uhud, where some of the brave Muslims were martyred, and amongst those martyrs there was Hamza, who was the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha used to go to the Uhud region around Medina, in the vicinity of Medina, and she used to pay pilgrimage to the tombs of the martyrs of Uhud, and especially she was especially attentive to Hamza, who was the uncle of her father, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By doing so, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha showed everybody that the memory of martyrs, the memory of those people who sacrificed their lives in favor and in support of the Islamic religion, shouldn't be left to the oblivion. And at the same time, she used to show to other people, I mean to other ladies, the place where Hazrat Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was martyred. And at the same time, after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alaiha was the staunch supporter of the right of Imam Ali alayhi salam for succeeding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it must be indicated that Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha was the first martyr who lost her life in support of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and supported the right of Imam Ali alayhi salam as the immediate and first successor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, it must be indicated that Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha's lectures and teachings still serve as good guidelines for not only Muslims but for mankind. Thank you.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah.
You're listening to the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Hazrat Fatima, the most outstanding lady. Women are one of the crucial segments of the human society, and they are created with some biological and psychological compositions which are different from men. Therefore, there is need for a man or woman that would be excellent exemplars and perfect role models for the woman folk. Meanwhile, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, is the only woman whose life could be emulated by women in its entirety. She is indeed a perfect symbol of the virtue of the various dimensions of womanhood. She was nurtured in the house of the Prophet Muhammad and later married the best of creation after the noble Prophet, that is Ali, son of Abu Talib, peace be upon him. She was the mother of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Hazrat Zahra is the perfect and highest example in piety, purity, sanctity, worship, asceticism, and morals.
Lady Fatima, how Muslims should be. Lady Fatima,
Let's look at some lessons we get from Lady Zahra. To cherish your parents and treat them in best manner. Verily, Fatima was surnamed Umm Abiha. Fatima Zahra is widely known for how she used to cherish and treat her father, the Prophet of Allah, in the utmost best manner. Fatima would take such great care of her father that he would call her Umm Abiha, that means the mother of her father. On many occasions at a young age, Fatima would care for her father after he had been harassed or attacked by others.
Is what transpired between Abu Bakr and Fatima al-Zahra simply a historical issue, an argument about a piece of land that took place 14 centuries ago that we should just forget and say this was something in the past and it has no relevance to us and our relationship with Allah? Or does that encounter between Abu Bakr and Lady Fatima, does it have theological implications? Because there are many Muslims in the world today, in the name of Islamic unity, they would argue that why are we arguing about a disagreement between Abu Bakr and Fatima al-Zahra, something that took place 14 centuries ago. There was a disagreement about a piece of land and it was sorted out, and if mistakes were made, Allah is forgiving and we shouldn't pass any judgment. You know, to give you a sense of how much revenue Fadak generated, suffice to mention that after Fatima al-Zahra delivered her Fadak sermon, Abu Bakr was about to sign over the papers and basically return it to Lady Fatima. And this is where Umar ibn al-Khattab, what does he say? How are we going to fund the army? Which means what? The amount of revenue that Fadak was generating is enough to fund a military budget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Prophet is given Fadak, Allah reveals to the Prophet, Surah 17, Ayah 26, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهِ, and give the right to your nearest of kin. Now of course the Prophet has many relatives. The ayah doesn't specify what is the haq, what is the right that should be given, and it doesn't specify who is the recipient, who is meant by the al-qurba. If you go to the tafasir of the Quran, for example, Jalaluddin As-Suyuti, a Sunni mufassir of the Quran, and this is something that I actually checked last night, just to be sure, he mentions a couple of narrations. One narration is from Ibn Abbas, the companion of the Prophet, and the other is Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. And they say, لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ, when this ayah was revealed to the Prophet, دَعَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَاطِمَةً, the Prophet called upon Fatima, فَأَعْطَاهَا فَدَكْ, and the Prophet gave Fadak to Fatima. And it was Jibra'il who explained the meaning of this verse to the Prophet, saying that the al-qurba is Fatima and the haq is Fadak.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, inshallah. We join together on the another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanallah.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Wa ba'liha wa baniha. بعدد ما أحاط به علمك. اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها.
بعدد ما أحاط به علمه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.